do a teaching on 2 Corinthians, and we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would use him, anoint him, use his mind and his mouth to speak your heart to us. And Holy Spirit, have a work inside of us through this teaching, that we know you more, that we have a fresh revelation of who you are and what you're about, and what your mission is for us as we long to walk this life in your presence and to serve you faithfully. Thank you, Jesus. Please. Amen.
I just need to make another quick announcement.
Nancy's preaching.
Guess what? No. I don't know if you saw June leave.
She said, did you hear? I don't know if you caught that before she prayed. Just agree with me. I'm her husband. I've learned to do that. Just agree with her. And that's all I need to do. And everything's happy. Happy in the house. You know, so, we already had church. I can just say, amen, let's go home. All right? But it's amazing what goes on in this building. And it all starts at 8:30 in the morning when a few of us come together and we invite the Holy Spirit to have his way. And so the dynamics of that, sometimes things change out, sometimes different things happen, and we're okay with it because we desire the presence of Jesus. In the bottom of our hearts, that we want to encounter, when we come together and gather together in the gathering place, we want to encounter Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And as I was preparing for this message in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, with the events that are going on today, it's very timely. It's very timely. So, and I usually don't start like this, but I think we need to start like this to give some little light to what we're going to hear. You know, as me and my family, in-laws, not the outlaws, we're the in-laws, we're all together with my daughter, her husband, and the children for a week in Branson. But one of the events we went to this performance of the life of David. And over and over and over again, it was amazing performance. It just blows your mind. The stage is about 180 degrees. So it's on your side, it's in front of you, it's all over. And over it's repeated, the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. What are you and I going through? Are we trying to fix it? Or do we go to God and say, I believe you're the one can fix it. And I believe in my whole heart, the battle's not mine. It's the Lord's. It's the Lord's. And before we get into the scriptures, this chapter is just kind of defining, are we depending on our goodness or are we depending on what Jesus did on the cross when he shed his blood for us? And are we fully engaged in receiving the gift of righteousness? Are we trying to get our own righteousness and get that going in our life? I was kind of overwhelmed this morning at 8:30. Two people prayed for me that just floods of water would flow out of my mouth. And I just wanted to just cooperate with the Holy Spirit and say, yes, Lord, I want that. I want that not for me. I'm here for you. You're his sheep. You're the ones he's greatly in love with. And I'm just honored to be in a position and allow God to fully work through this vessel to help you and strengthen you and grow your faith. Because that's what it's all about in coming together. The other thing is, I can think about my own personal life, and I spent a lot of years just pretending to be a Christian and trying to act like a Christian and trying to do things that Christians do. I had parents that disciplined me and tried to show me right and wrong. And I tried to define that for myself. But as I grew into my 20s and went off to college, and things started to change, because I started to think more about me and what I want. And it led me into a real dark path. I thought I was a moral person, and morals went out the window. I thought I would speak the truth, and I easily lie. I was thinking I was a believer and trying to act like a believer, but everything was deteriorating in my life. And then it came to a point where, and some of you already know the story, about I met this missionary to Japan, and he wrote me a letter, and for the first time the light went on that I was a sinner. And I really didn't know the God of the universe. And he revealed himself to me. And the way he revealed himself to me wasn't, "You scoundrel, you rotten sinner, how could you be?" No, he approached me with love. And I understood love for the first time in my life, sitting in a bathroom and then just weeping before him and saying, "Lord, boy, you know all my messy stuff, but you're telling me you love me? You're telling me you gave your life for me? And that you forgive me when I'm having a hard time forgiving myself?" And I wept before him. And I said, "I want you. I desire you. I want to receive you in my life." And he came in, and all the guilt and shame and all that stuff just left. Well, let's see what this chapter says. Because it's talking about, you know, well, we'll see. Verse 1-3. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters or recommendations to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not in ink, but with the Spirit, the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but tablets of human hearts. What a way to start this chapter. You know, and the opinion of people, you know, you telling me to just acknowledge myself? No, I'm going to acknowledge the God that lives within me, that's pounding in my heart, that's part of my whole being, that not only wants to occupy me, but wants to occupy my mind and my thoughts and everything about my life. And then it's very interesting that he said, not with ink, not with tablets. What tablets? What does that remind us of? The Ten Commandments. You know, it's this morning I flipped on the TV a little bit and just watched what's happening in Phoenix, and not only in Phoenix, but all over the world, as people are gathering together. And I really believe some of those people gathering together may not know Jesus, but I think today there may be thousands that come to know Jesus. And they interviewed a guy. And here's, not of tablets, not of ink, but of the Spirit of the living God, about tablets in the human heart. They interviewed a guy. He says, what do you think about what's going on here? He said, well, I think it's pretty good. I think, you know, we all got to keep the Ten Commandments, and I hope Charlie kept them. I hope he kept them quick because, you know, you got to keep that law, and I hope he's in heaven. You know what? We're living in a world, even in our Christianity, it's in collision between truth and lies. Nowhere in the gospel says that Ten Commandments can get us into heaven. What gets us into heaven, someone who fulfilled the Ten Commandments and then shed his blood. It goes on. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything or for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. Now again, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, and the Spirit gives life. You know, we talked a little bit about what's real freedom is knowing the God that loves you. And that love he'll never walk away from. And knowing that when we fail, we have a God. In another epistle says we can go to him and confess it to him, and he won't hold back forgiveness. And he wants to restore that relationship with God and us through Jesus and what he did. In the business world, I own a manufacturing company, and we have this thing called ISO. If you're in the industry, you know this ISO word, and they come in there and they examine you. And one word I really pounded in my mind was these guys that come in and to analyze everything we're doing. And they say, oh, this guy, you put him in a management position. What's his competence? And I used to get, I hired him. He's a good man. He know, is he competent? And then they drill you about his decision-making process and how well he's doing. And are you sure you got the right guy? And it sounds like they come in for 3 or 4 days to critique and tell me how to run my business. And you know, sometimes they go, you're not gonna tell me how right. But then they hold a hammer over you. Guess what? If we don't approve you, some of your accounts, you will lose them because they demand that you have the certification. We have competence, and it's not of our own doing. You say, well, I'm a Christian. Let's put a magnifying on your life, fascinating your life, and I want, can I walk with you every minute of life and make sure you don't misstep? Because you can't misstep and be a Christian. Our competence is not on how well we're doing the job. It's how perfect was his sacrifice. Hey guys, you know what? In coming in the depth of that, the gift of righteousness, That's where we can totally understand whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. And I'm going to get into a little bit of that a little later. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. Verse 7. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in the letters on stone, come with glory, so that the Israelites could not look intensely at the face of Moses because the glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? You know, it's and again he's talking about the Ten Commandments, and who fulfilled that for all of us? His name is Jesus. And Jesus was so accurate about when he encountered people. And you know what? Check out your Gospels. Go read it all. And you'll find out that Jesus never, ever put shame and condemnation on anybody. But he talked to them about his Father that loves them and about why he was here. And he even went into detail, you know, and he's saying, you know, there's nothing wrong with the law. You know, if we really want to just connect with God's heart, you know, it's a good thing to honor your parents. It's a good thing not to covet. It's a good thing not to steal. It's a good, definitely not a good thing to murder, you know. And it's good, but it can't save you. It can't save you. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can. And what it's really interesting enough that when Moses came down, they had to cover his face because he was in the presence of God Almighty. And that glory was all over his countenance. But it was fading away. And eventually the veil came off. There's Moses again. Here he is, he's back. But when we come to know Jesus, when we come to know him and who he is, we have an opportunity for our countenance to shine brightly. It's, do you ever meet people that just by looking at their face, you know they're Christians. It's amazing how the face can say so much. You know, for 21 years I was in a Baptist church, and they gave me an assignment one time to greet people at the door as they're coming from the parking lot. That was the most entertaining job I ever had. Because sometimes if you, "Good morning, brother, how you doing?" And I would see him way back. Man, they were either got a big fight with their wife or the kids or something went crazy. And they came in there and their face was downtrodden. But I would give, "Good morning, brother. I hope you're doing good, you know." But we have an opportunity to stay clean. Stay clean. Because none of us here keep the Ten Commandments fully. Hey, tell you, I don't. But I know where to go to when I fail. And I know when I go, that go-to person is my Heavenly Father, that now is my, I'm not an orphan, I belong to his family, and I have a Heavenly Father that I can go to with confidence because I know his Son, Jesus. I have an intimate relationship with his Son, Jesus. And you know what? If Jesus calls me his friend, I'm a friend of the Father. Because Jesus, the Son, is God's, the Father is the three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all connected. And you can't have one love you and the other not. If you got the love from one, you got the love from all three of them. All right? So, going on, if the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? Key. Our self-righteousness gets us, doesn't get us very far. But the gift of righteousness is life-changing. Life-changing. You know what? It's the law, the ministry of law, brought condemnation. And the beautiful thing about the law, if it wasn't for the law, I would not know that I was a sinner. If it wasn't for that, the law, if that law was in there, there was nothing moving me to come to Jesus. But when my life was coming down on me, and my lifestyle was coming down on me, and what was causing me guilt and condemnation was the law. But then Jesus came in there and said, Byron, I fulfilled the law on your behalf. Come to me. I'll love you and I'll forgive you. The gift of righteousness. One would say that if we try to be self-righteous by our own efforts, that may have some effect. And it could have some effect on modifying my lifestyle. But when I understand the fullness of what Jesus did on my behalf, he died for me. That connection with the Father brings life transformation from within. I'm changed. I'm forever changing by the love of God that cleanses me from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, and for what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? You know what? There was thousands of people witness Moses going up there. I mean, I think I would have trembled if there were the roar and the shaking and the lightning and all the stuff. And that guy Moses up there and all that stuff. I can't see a great cloud and all that stuff. I'm down here on the hillside witnessing all this. But he is talking and meeting with God in person. There's an interesting thing in that narrative, the scriptures back there in Genesis, that he was there in the image. He saw the hand of God writing the Ten Commandments. He saw all that. But Moses asked something. Can I see your face? Remember that? And he said, nuh-uh. Not now. Just know that I am who I am. It took thousands of years after that all of us had the opportunity to see the face And that face is Jesus. And some of us have, I've had them, some of you have had them, had dreams, or in the middle of the night in a dream, you actually see his face. And it's so loving, so kind, so compassionate, so amazing, so full of love and grace and kindness. We all get opportunity to see that, either in a dream or just spiritually see it. And that lasts. Everything in our houses don't last, our cars don't last. Man, tear this. I'm in my 80s now. This body is not 100% lasting either. It's going to die someday. But that relationship with God Almighty and who He is, and I am a son of Him, lasts. It will last through every difficulty of life. I don't care what you and I have to pass through, it will last. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We've heard that word over and over again this morning. Bold. Bold. I 21 years in the Baptist church. And this particular Baptist church was really struggling with actually the spiritual gifts. And they will buy a little bit into it. We're not too sure. And waffling back and forth. And they had actually, I was an elder in that church. And they, after all, and then they actually had big elder meetings about it, you know. Were they just for then or are they for now? We don't know. Well, how about healing? I'm not sure about that. And there was all this waffling around that. But one thing they got right. Was the gospel, and people were being saved, and for me that's key, that people understand the truth of the gospel and get saved, and the benefit of that. It was like I was sitting there this morning. I was saying all these testimonies, man. We were having our cake and eating it, and I have to get up here and try to put some frosting on it. You know, so, and I said, wow, we could have said, church over, we're done with this. Well, anyhow, 21, I walked in this church, and then baptized in the Holy Spirit, and operating in the gifts, and all of a sudden, I wasn't in there a few months. They said, hey, would you mind teaching a class? And I said, well, I've been trying to hide in the back row Baptist, you know. But you know, and all right, I'll do it. Oh, yeah, we want you to do this. And then so they put me in an adult class with adults. That you wonder whether they're adults all the time, but they're older. So, in that class, there was professors from Trinity, and I told Nancy, I said, man, I'm sort of intimidated. I mean, these are professors, you know. I didn't go to seminary, you know, but they're there, later on they said, your season's over there, Byron. We want you to take a college class. Take those college students. I thought, all right, well, okay. I stalled a little bit, but I moved over there. And that was the first time I met, she's not here today because she's not feeling well, Kara was in that class. The class started out small and got bigger and bigger and bigger. And it was really an amazing thing, just challenging college students about who Jesus is and the reality of who Jesus is. But in this journey, I was back in church, and this gentleman comes up to me. Byron. Yes? What's going on here? Yeah. Well, I'll tell you something. For years, I thought you were the most proud, arrogant Christian I ever met. And let's hear more before I... And he said, but as I came to your class, got to know you and stuff like that, there's something in you that has such a confidence from God, I misjudged as arrogant and proud. You know what? May our lives be so about Jesus, be so about Him, that we don't really want that to happen, but some people might be inquiring about who you and I are, and it may come across as not the truth, but then we can tell them the real truth of who we are. Because walking with Jesus, knowing Him and encountering Him in your life and having Him be every part of your life will demonstrate confidence, along with faith and hope and everything else. But to some people, they'll come across as proud and arrogant. And then we can have a chance. But this guy, I didn't have to, I just held my peace, and he could tell me his whole thing, but it came full circle. I didn't have to convince him of anything, because he, over time, said, you have an unusual relationship with Jesus. And I missed it in determining who I thought you were. Be very bold. How's our time? We're going all right here? I'm glad I put numbers on these. I've told you guys before, sometimes I flip two pages and I'll keep going. I'll say, something's wrong here. But we are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. You know what? That in my life has given me a lot of freedom. Just those words. You know, it's I repeat myself on things. But you know what? Parenting. You know, I it took me 26 years or 77 years to come to Jesus. But parenting is. What any of us have children, that's what we're called to do. And I asked for God to help me in parenting. And you know, it's my first time through this. I had a wife, and all of a sudden we had these three bungles around us all the time, and I asked God, I said, how would you want me to parent? Because as much as my parents love me, if I just would generalize it, they were trying to make me look like a Christian when I wasn't. They come hard. when later on in life, when I was out with my friends, I was college age from Northern Illinois University, met with them, and this all comes all the way. I went to a bar with them, and we were dancing. It was a lot of fun. We were having a lot of fun. My dad showed up. But he was kind enough where he stayed in the car. So they sent Peter into the bar. Peter over there, that's my brother, older brother. And Peter came about and he says, Dad's outside in the parking lot and wants to talk to you. How do you know even where I was? I mean, I can't figure that one out. I said, to this day, I don't know. So I went out of the parking lot, and there's Dad. And he looked at me and says, how can you be a Christian and be in that place? You know what? That's parenting by law. And I said, Dad, I'll see you later. I just walked back into the bar. My dad, Peter, went back home. And that was the day started me to despise my father. Why is he trying to make me do what he wants me to do? Or we can others say, this, not in his mind, but how is he trying to make me look like a Christian when I'm not a Christian? And I wasn't going to go here, but I think it might be good for somebody here. So anyhow, years after that, maybe 5 or 6 years after that, me and my dad, I'm talking about we'd have it out. I wanted my life, and he wasn't going to stand in the way. Then I encountered Jesus. Oh, but don't cry now. I encountered Jesus in a bathroom. Packed up my bags. Went to the farm in Indiana. Spent almost a week there reading the whole New Testament. See, my parents sent me to a Lutheran school, and they pounded into me. They had memorized. I had memorized. And I don't say I'd memorize, but I'd do this just because the school wants you to do it. But other memorizing, I'm done with it. But as I was reading the whole New Testament, all of a sudden, I remember memorizing that. And now I'm seeing it in context. I start to cry. Then read some more. Oh, here's another one. I remember memorizing that. Wow. But now I'm a believer. Now I belong to the family of God. Now I know my Heavenly Father. Now I know my Jesus that loved me and forgave me of all my sins and all my rejection of Him. And now I'm seeing that. And I don't know why God had me do that, but until I finished the whole New Testament, maybe 2 chapters of Revelation, and I was done with that one. I headed home. Got home, and who was there to meet me? My dad that I despised. Life transformation, remember that? It's not law that's going to get me to love my dad again. It's Jesus and the Holy Spirit in my life that's going to restore that relationship. And as I saw my dad, I walked up to him and I couldn't help myself. All I could do was hug him. The one I despised now is the one I loved deeply. and the words actually could come out of my mouth as I hugged him and whispered in his ear, "Dad, I love you." And meant it. And then I heard a whisper in my ear from my dad, "Son, I've always loved you." It's coming to Jesus is life transforming. And it comes out of that continually reminding ourselves how greatly loved and highly favored we are because we know the Son of God, Jesus. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Until you and I have to just keep pursuing how greatly loved and highly favored we are. Keep pursuing it. And be quick to ask forgiveness when we fail. And the just and right thing for him to do is forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because be assured, when we gave our life to Jesus, he gave us something so precious. He's given us the gift of righteousness. Even though we fail, God views us, hey, what the Father says about us, what Jesus says the Father says about us, when we come to the Son and initially invite him in our life, "I will remember your sins no more." Off the record. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Learn the depths of when Jesus said, "Whom the Lord sets free is free indeed." You're free. I'm free. I'm free to live for him. And as the memorial service is going on right now, probably you're starting pretty soon, as that memorial service is on, we have a man that was bold about his faith and who he loved, and we're free to live for him, and we're free to die for him. Don't fear people who can kill your body. Fear the one that can throw your body and spirit into hell. That's one to be the fear. But he said, but this, but think, we don't have to be afraid anymore because we know him. We know him. I don't call you, Jesus, I don't call you slaves. I call you friends. You and I are a friend to Jesus. A friend to Jesus. In closing here, we come to verse 18. And we all, you think they were from Texas? And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with an ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Hey, when you leave this building, cooperate with his transforming power. It has to come from him. I'm not capable, and you're not capable, but he's capable. And it comes from him. He is the one. He is the one being transformed into His image. In other words, to be like Him. When somebody hurts you, you forgive him. When somebody lies about you, you forgive him. When something serious happens, you come to him. Whatever it is, come to him. Come to him. He's your help. He's your source. It's not going to come from you. It's going to come from him, who died and gave his life for you. You know, we were talking around the house the other day, and I love it. It's ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Spirit. And I've heard people say, you know, it might have been said here too, that it was said here. I think somebody said it from here. Charlie Kirk, he should have never died like that. Well, Jesus should have never died like that either. What Jesus went through was horrific. And the whole time going through it, he was saying, Byron, I love you. Casey, I love you. He was thinking way in the future of all of us in this room and saying, I'm willing to give my life for Ken, for all of us, and to give us life and life more abundantly. Comes from him. Comes from him. Nowhere else. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Worship leaders, are you ready to come on up here? I hope, you know, we had some really delicious cake this morning. And I was sitting there saying to myself, I was saying, how in the world can I ever get up here? After all these testimonies and what's happening. Oh man, Catherine, man, you were, man, it was so cool. And Juan, I love my Juan. You're so amazing. And some of the things that, and I'm hearing all this, I said, wow, this church will always be dynamic, not repetitious, or not just another Sunday. Because we allow the Holy Spirit to really work amongst us in here and let him have his way. So, but I was sitting there saying, man, I could say yes and amen and let's just leave. Hey guys, it was hard for me to get up here and even give a message after hearing all these testimonies and God healing and helping and everything else. But you know, if it wasn't for, I'll name their names, Juan and Sandy. Both at 8:30 this morning, sometime during that time, both of them said, I see water coming out of you. Life. And you know what? It's because of their testimonies of what they were seeing in the Holy Spirit, I could get up here and talk. But the other thing is that I can get up here and talk because I know how much God loves everybody in this room. And you're his sheep. And as long as I'm called to this position, my heart is all for you. Not about me, it's all about you. It's all about feeding you, increasing your faith, helping you grow in your relationship with Jesus, be closer to him, breaking the chains, breaking the things that bind us and keep us held back. It's my heart to just set whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. As a pastor, I want all of us to walk in that freedom that only he can give. Amen.
All right, so we had a different song planned for the end, but we're actually going to sing The Lord Will Provide Again.
You deserve a hug. I love you.
Philippians, it says that the Lord will liberally supply for all of our needs.